Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Baba Kama Daf Nun. Perhaps let's just go back to the Mishnah again, back on Daf Mem Tesem at Beis, around 10-12 lines off the bottom. We'll start from Mishnah quickly again, which would lead us into the new sugya. Okay, Hachayfer Bur B'Shus HaYachad. So we're speaking about the mazik of bur. A person digs a pit, which creates an obstacle, a hazard, which causes damage. Question, where is this pit located? Says the Mishnah. It doesn't matter. Hachayfer Bur B'Shus HaYachad. So if he dug it in his private property, but he angled the opening into the street, sort of like tunneled it into the street, and the opening is actually in the street, or the other way. He dug the pit in the street, but he had the opening in his private property, which was near the street, which he sort of opened to public access. Or he dug it in his backyard, but he had the opening in a different Rishus HaYachid. But once again, Rashi explains, he was mafkir his Rishus, meaning he made his property accessible to the public, otherwise they have no business stepping into his backyard, right? So either way, if it causes damage, chayiv, he's responsible. Tana Rabbanu, says the Braisa, chayifer bar Rishus HaYachid, v'sach Rishus HaRabim. So he dug it in private property, he opened to the street. Chayiv, he's responsible. V'zehu boir ha'omer b'Torah. And this is the classic case of a pit in the Torah, for which he is liable. Divi Rabbi Shmo, that's a Rishmo's opinion. So a bar Rishus HaRabim, he's chayiv. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Was speaking that the bur was located in private property, hifkir rishus, but then he made it hefker and allowed public to access the area. V'lo hifkir bur, but retained ownership of the bur, so it's his bur, which is now causing a hazard. Zehu bur ha'omer b'Torah, that's the classic example of a bur in the Torah for which he's liable. Omer Rabba. So we have two ways to explain this. Machlekes Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, says Rabba. B'bur b'shus Rabba m'kuli amuli pligi de machayv. All agree. If he dug a pit in the middle of the street, of course he's responsible. My time out, why? Amakra, the Pasuk says, we find a repetition in the Pasuk. Yivtach, v'chiyichre, he uncovered an existing pit, or he dug a pit anew. Why the repetition? Imal psicha chayv, if he's responsible for simply exposing a pre-existing pit, al kriyla koshkin, doesn't it lend to reason that if he digs the pit to begin with, he's responsible? So why even mention it? Ella, the Pasuk is sending you a message, giving you an understanding in terms of his liability. Shall iske psicha, val iske kriya boilei. Why is he liable? Not necessarily because he owns the hazard. It's because of his involvement. He opened, he dug, his masa, not his ownership, his masa, his doings, his activity, is what causes that liability. So even if it's in the street, something which he doesn't own, he's responsible. So all agree on that. That's Rabbi's opinion. Machlekes only pertains if it's a pit in his private property, which of course, as we explained, he opened to the public. That's the machlekes. A pit located in Rishus HaYachad. Rabbi Kiva Sava, he holds bur b'shus namichayev. He's liable for that too. The chassid, the pasuk, calls it bal habur. He's the owner of the bur. Apparently, we're speaking about bur. The isli balam kamar rahman. We're speaking about a bur that's owned by somebody. So he's chayev. Rabbi Shmuel Sava, no. When we speak about balabar, we're not speaking about ownership, we're speaking about the person who created that obstacle with his doing. But of course, it's in the street. So, once again, according to Rabba, Bishus Rabb, all agree, Yerchayev, Bishus Yachad, Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel says no, Rabbi Kiva says there he's Chayev as well. Asks the Gemara, Elamai Zehu, Boyer Ha'amar Batoira, the Gemara Rabbi Kiva. When Rabbi Kiva responded to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, well, no, this is the bur of the Torah, this in private property. Well, it's not just this, according to Rabba. It's this in addition to the regular bur, which is a Rabba. So why does he say Zehu? The answer is like this. Zehu bur, shepasach be'akosav t'chilu l'tashlumen. He was making a point. He was simply trying to make an argument. He says, look, if you look at the psukim, what's the, the first reference that the Torah refers to in terms of a bur for which he has to pay? Baal habur yishalim. So clearly the Torah is referencing a bur which is owned by somebody, a private bur, which triggers payment. So how can you sort of negate this bur? If anything, this is certainly a bur which generates liability. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But of course, this is in addition to the bar b'shus rabbah, for which he's liable as well. Bottom line, according to Rava, b'shus rabbah all agree you're chayiv, b'shus yachid is a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva says yes, Rabbi Shmuel says no. V'Rav Yosef Amar, Yosef disagrees. B'bar b'shus hayachid kol yamul liplik de machayiv. He goes the other way. A bar in private property, which you allowed people to access, he's certainly chayiv according to all shittos. My time, why is that? Bala bar amarachmano. He focuses on the words balabur, it's a man owned bur, it's a private bur. You're chayiv. All agree. Ki pligi the machlekes only pertains to bebur b'shus rabba bur in the street. So it's the opposite of rabba. Rabbi Shmuel Sover, Rabbi Shmuel holds bur b'shus rabba nami chayiv. Why? Dechsiv, that's the pasuk we had before, because it's his causation, it's his doing, even though it's not owned by him. Dechsiv, ki yich riftach v'chi yich, right? That repetition, he uncovered, he dug. Why elaborate, why repeat? If we already know the first part by just simply uncovering your chayiv, I'll create a koshkan, of course, by digging. So what's the point of the pasuk? Ella, pasuk is teaching us shall iske. It's because of his involvement, not his ownership. So even a bar in the street, you're chayiv. Rabbi Kiva responds, he says, no, a bar in the street, you're not chayiv. Hanu mitzrach tzrichim, because there's a need. There's a purpose for the Torah repeating these two things. Dikas rachmana ki yiftach, the Torah only speaking about uncovering, taking the lid off a bar. How about I would say, you know, when a person simply uncovers a pre-existing bar, there it's sufficient for him to go and cover it again. That absolves him. Because after all, that's all he did. He uncovered, so now he recovers it. But if a person actually digs a pit to begin with, perhaps in this case, lidding it, covering it is not enough, because, you know, it might, you know, rot and it might, you know, break apart. Bottom line is you have to undo what you did at the time until you actually refill that bar. So that's what I would think, if not the fact that the Torah actually puts them together and says, look, whether you uncovered, whether you dug, as long as you, you know, deal with it responsibly, you're okay. So that's why the Torah has to stress both things. Because of Rachmana Ki Yichra, now had the Torah only said the second part, that a person who dug a bar has to cover it. I would say kriya hu debayi kisa mishum d'avet masa. Perhaps only if he actually dug the bar. Well, there he has to really care for it, cover it, because he created the bar. Aval pesech d'avet masa. But a case where he just uncovers a pre-existing pit, he didn't actually make the pit, so perhaps he's not really responsible. Emo kisa inam elibayi. Perhaps he doesn't have to go cover it. The person who made the bar has to look after it. Kamash malatz l'chedesh l'pasik. Whether he uncovered a pre-existing bar or he dug a bar to begin with, we treat him as the same. So bottom line, according to Rav Yosef, a bar in Shusay Yachad will agree Yechayev, while a bar Yishalm, a bar in Shusay Rabim is a machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel says Chayev, Rabbi Kiva says Pat. Asks the Gemara, Velamai Zehu Bar Omer Batayrat, come Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Shmuel, when he presents his case, he says, look, his opinion, he says like this, a bar in Shusay Rabim, that's the bar of the Torah. What do you mean that's the bar? We just said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, whether it's in the street or on private property, you're Chayev, so why is he, you know, singling out the bar b'shus rabim? Answers the Gemara, he was just making a point. You can't negate this bar. Zeh bar shepasach b'yakosav tchilul nizakin. If you look at the psukim, you know, which describe a bar causing damage, which is the first one that the Torah speaks about that caused damage? The one that is in the street, ki yiftach, ki yichra, and somebody falls in. So you can't just negate that bar. Of course, that bar, certainly what the Torah had in mind, a bar b'shus rabim is chayiv. So bottom line, a bar b'shus rabim, a bar b'shus yachad, which one is he chayiv? According to Rabbah, all agree a bar b'shus rabim is chayiv. A bar b'shus yachad, well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, no. According to Rabbi Kiva, yes. Rabbi Yosef goes the other way. A bar b'shus yachad, all agree a chayiv. A bar b'shus rabim, Rabbi Shmuel says yes. Rabbi Kiva says no. Meisvi, here comes a kash. A chayiv, a bar b'shus rabim. Upsachay, l'shus yachad. He digs it in the street, opens it into private property. Potter, he's not responsible. I think Gemara figures at this point, even if he made, you know, the territory hefker, it's now accessible to the public. Well, it's a berber shesu yachad, he's potter. Vava b'she'en rashi lasis kein, of course, a person allowed to do that. Now, I dig under the street, lo v'she'en oisin cholol tachat shesu rab, not meant to take a void, meant to make an empty cavity under the street, lest it collapse and, you know, cause damage. But if he does it and somebody falls into the Pesach, into the opening which happened to be angled into private property, you potter. The Baisa continues. Hachayifer boiris sichin amoris b'shusayachid upsachel l'shusarabim. He's chayif. So the other way, if he digs a pit, all kinds of, you know, different shape pits, bayr, sichem, ara, in his private property, and he angled the opening into the street, you know, like a tunnel, you open it into the street. Now it's a barbish sarab, because it's all about where the opening is. It's all about where the obstacle is, as Tosis points out in Daf Mem Tesamet Beis. The klal is wherever the Pesach is, that's sort of the location of the bar, even though the actual cavity is in a different place. Okay, so he's chayiv because it's in the street. The Braisa continues. So far we have a bar b'shis ram check, chayiv, bar b'shis yachar x is patur. The Braisa continues with words which seem to contradict that. V'achayiv bar b'shis yachar, hasmuchel b'shis ram, if he digs a pit in his private property, near the street, going to Elu from Leushin, like people who dig foundations for, you know, buildings, which is, you know, common construction practice. He does it near the street. He's potter. Well, the Gemara figures because, you know, it's a special, you know, dispensation for digging foundations. For Rabbi Yisrael read the Machayiv, because Rabbi Yisrael read the Machayiv in this case as well, Achi Asa Machitza, sorry, you have to make a construction fence, then the Tefachai to protect the passerby. Oy Achi Yarchik Mokim Drisas Ragli Odom, Uli Mokim Drisas Ragli Behema, Arba Tfachim, or you make like a ledge. Dig your foundation, but do it at a distance, create a gap, a space, at least four Tefach on the street, to protect the pedestrians. Now, Tama Delushin. So it's clear from the Braisa that the reason why he's Potter, when he digs the pit inside his, you know, property, that's because it was a construction pit. Ha'olav l'ushin, but if it wasn't meant for a foundation, just a plain hazard, chayiv, he's responsible, even though it's a bar b'shus hayachid. Ha'mani, so who's speaking in this braisa? Here we say bar b'shus hayachid is chayiv, then we say pot, what's going on? So b'shlem el rabba, according to rabba, we can say like this. You're right. This braisa reflects two different opinions. Reisho, the first part of the Braisa, which told us that a Berber Shiziachar is Potter, that's Rabbi Shmuel speaking. Vesefa, the second part, which says a Berber Shiziachar is Chayiv, anything other than, you know, foundation, you know, digging, you're Chayiv, that's Rabbi Kiva speaking, because a Berber Shiziachar is Chayiv according to him. El Rabbi Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yisrael, who holds that a Berber Shiziachar is Potter. So Bishlam Vesefa, Divrei Koil. So the second part of the Braisa, sorry, according to Rabbi Yisrael, who holds that Berber Shiziachar all agrees Chayiv. So, sure, the Sefer, which says that anything other than, you know, construction digging is Chayim, Divrei HaKol, that reflects all opinions. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, both agree, a Berber Shiziachar is Chayim. El Oresha, but the first part of the Braisa, which indicates otherwise, a Berber Shiziachar is Pater Mani. Who's speaking? Lo, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, can't be going like either Shita. Amlach Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef like this, Kula Divrei HaKol, well, the entire Braisa is following all these Shitas, meaning, a Berber Shiziachar, of course, is Chayiv. So why in the first part of the Braisa does it seem like he's Potter? In a Berber Shiziachar, Reisha, the first part of the Braisa is speaking, he didn't make his property accessible to the public. It's mine. It's my private bur, my private backyard. You have no business accessing my bur or my property, and therefore I'm Potter. So in this case, all agree you're Potter. When we say a Berber Shiziachar is Chayiv, that's when he made his property Hefker and opened the doors to all to come in. Amar Rav Ashi, okay, let's take it a step further. Now that we've established that according to Rav Yosef, the Braisa can work like all Shitas. Well, the Rabba Nami, so now we can say that even according to Rabba, we don't necessarily have to say that this Braisa is sort of split between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. We'll say it like this. Midereisha Rabbi Shmuel. Since the first part of the Braisa, which says, Bar b'shizecher is potter, is Rabbi Shmuel Shita? Well, say for now, Rabbi Shmuel. The next part of the Braisa is also Rabbi Shmuel speaking. So why is he chayiv? V'tam adalushin. He's only potter because it was a foundation, you know, dig. Ha'olav lushin, but otherwise, would be an ordinary pit, irresponsibly dug near the street, he would be chayiv. Question is why, right? I'll tell you why. There's a case we all agree you're chayiv. He's going to arvach arvuchi l'shiz rabim. Sure, he dug it next to the street, but he sort of expanded his burr a little bit into the street. And a passerby can just slip in there. So even though the chunk of the bar primarily is in his private property, but it's sort of opened a bit into the street, all agree you're chayiv in this case. So bottom line, we found the case where all agree you're chayiv, such as this case where it's partially in the street. We found the case where all agree you're potter, which is the Leushin dig, which for some reason was allowed. Maisvi, here comes another kash. Ha'chayiv ha'berbish sayachid, u'psachal ishizram ha'chayiv. You dug a pit in your private property, you opened it into the street, you're chayiv. B'shus hayachad, hasmuchal ishizram potter. But if one digs it in his private property right near the street. He's potter. So now, Bishlam el Rabba, so according to Rabba Shita, Kula Rabbi Shmuley. This entire brisa reflects Rabbi Shmuel Shita, who says that a bar Bishas Rabba is chay, but Bishas Yachar is potter. Good. El Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef, how does this work? Bishlam el Rabba, so certainly the first part of the brisa that says bar Bishas Rabba is chay, is Rabbi Shmuel, who says likewise. El Sefa, but the second part, which says a bar Bishas Yachar is potter, that doesn't work like anybody. Loyamani, Loy Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Kiva, because according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, all agree. Abba so how does this work? Amalach, I'll tell you, well, we have that Leushan dig, which is an exception. Amalach, Bechayfa Leushan. Oh, it's a foundation dig, which for some reason was allowed to be done. But Ibn Akkad, all agree you're Pater in that case. Okay, let's summarize this piece of Gemara. When you dig a bar, are you Chayiv? Well, we have Rabba, we have Rabbi Yosef. So according to Rabba, Abar b'shus Rabba, all agree you're chayiv. Abar b'shus Sayachid, well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you potter, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're chayiv. We have Rabbi Yosef. Abar b'shus Yachid, all agree you're chayiv. Abar b'shus Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel says yes, Rabbi Kiva says no. We have some exceptions to the rule. Leushin, all agree it's potter. A bar near the street, which was sort of, you know, partially open into the street, all agree that's considered Abar b'shus Rabba. And certainly if he dug a bar in his backyard and he fenced it in, there was, you know, nobody had business going there, but he wasn't mafkir, he was Yeshuas, all agree you're a potter. Tanu Rabban, here comes a new case. Chafar, let's say a person digs, you know, a cistern, a water storage pit. Upasach, and he opened it, umasal rabim, and he gave it over to the public. So basically he was doing a public service. He was digging it, but then giving, you know, handing over custody to the public. Potter is no longer responsible, he doesn't have to look after it. It's a you know, public works department to look after. But if chafar pasach lemasach l'rabim, let's say he dug, but he didn't actually hand it over to the rabim. He's still, you know, owning that water pit, but everybody's accessing it. Chayiv, he's responsible to look after it. V'chein min hagoy shal nechunya chayfer b'yreis sichanam aris. Now there was a tzaddik named Nechunya. He would dig all these types of pits for the sake of the oily regalim of the Jewish travelers going up to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. So he'd create all these water storage areas on the road. He would dig it and give it over to the public. So he would sort of follow this formula. And this way he was absolved of any responsibility. When Chama heard this type of practice, Amr, they said, well, Kiyim Zeh Halacha Zu, his fellow, his tzaddik, actually practiced this halacha. Basically, he dug it, but he handed it over to the rabbim. It's their responsibility. Asks the Gemara, halacha zu, we only kept this specific halacha, nothing else? No. V'suloi, el'eim af halacha zu, he kept everything, including this. He's meticulous in everything, even in this. These halachas, important halachas of public safety, he was careful to do it properly. Continues the Gemara on this topic of Nechunya Chayfer Beiris. Tanu Rabban, Maaseh, it was a story involving his daughter. Bebitoi, shal Nechunya Chayfer Sichin, that had an accident and fell into one of the boyrays. Shenafla Bargodal, she fell into this very deep water hole. And they couldn't get her out. Bo voidu es Rabbi Chanina Medesa. They quickly ran to the tzaddik, Rabbi Chanina Medesa. What should we do? Shah Rishayna, a couple of minutes passed. Amar Lehem, he told them not to worry. She's certainly okay. Shalem, she's safe. Shnia, a little while later. Amar Lehem, Shalem. Once again, he responded the same way. She's certainly safe. She's being looked after by Hashem. Shlishis, but after a while, when it would be impossible for a person to survive underwater that long, Armalem, he told him, okay, obviously, somehow she was rescued. Also, she's certainly out of there. Armalo, so they went and they looked, and in fact, she was actually somehow out of the pit. She was miraculously saved. So they asked her, what happened? Armalo, Mihela, who took you out of the pit? Armalem, she told him, Zohar shel Rechelim Nizdamli. I encountered this male rachel, meaning a ram, an animal, being led by this elder man, which the Mefarshim says, Avraham Avinu leading the aisle, which took the place of Yitzchak Avinu by the Akedah. So here as well, there was some sort of exchange. Hashem took, you know, the girl out because of the schusim of her father, and she was saved. Amar lo, so they went back to the tzaddik, Rav Chanina Medesa, how did you know this happened? Naviata, you're a prophet. How did you know? Amar Lehem, he says, no, actually not. Lo Navi Anochi, v'loy ben Navi Anochi. Neither am I a Navi or a son of a Navi. So how did I know? Elokach Amarti, I figured You know, in his humility, he says like this, I figure, Dover Shoise Tzadik Mistar, boy, it cannot be so. Her father was heavily involved. He invested great effort. He was mitzvah to provide water for the, you know, passerby for Klal Yisrael. So this same thing that a tzaddik was involved in, meaning generating these water pits, it cannot be that this exact thing should cause pitfall and hazard and danger and bring tragedy to his family. Yikashlo Beizari, his own child, should fall in that, should be struck by it. It can't be. And therefore, I was confident she was certainly saved. That's what happened. Omar b'Acha, but still, apparently there was some sort of, chet, some sort of deficiency within the family. And in fact, another member of his family died in a similar fashion, not directly through a water pit, but in a similar fashion. Perhaps he was, the family was somewhat lax in this. You know, they had this tafkid of providing water. There was some deficiency, some sort of laxness, and therefore, Afal Pikain, Mezbrei, but Sama, his son, died of thirst. Shenemar, Usvivav Nisara Moed, Hashem is very careful, very meticulous and strict. Malamid, Shakadish Borchum, Daktekim, Svivav Afilukhut Asara. Hashem is very meticulous and careful with his, you know, close tzaddikim. He's medaktik, even like a hair's breadth, even a drop of deficiency, Hashem takes into account and holds him responsible, and that's what happened. Reb Chunya Amar Mehocha, we have a different source for this concept. Kel Naretz, we said, Kedoshim, Rabba, V'Noira, Kol Sviva, Hashem's Noira, Hashem's Awe, Hashem's judgment is meted on all his Sviva, and the ones that are close to him especially. Reb Chanina, Kolo'im HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatrenu. If a person suggests and tells people that Hashem, you know, just forgives and forgets, that's terrible because it generates laxity in observance of mitzvahs, yivatru chayiv, his own life should become, you know, exposed and you know, vulnerable. That's his oinesh. Shenemar atzur tamim pa'aloi, kichol drachav mishpat, Hashem's ways are just and exact. Omer b'chana, v'item rabbi shmo marachmeni, ma'ay dechsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says erach apayim? Hashem has patience. You would think, you know, v'loksiv erach af, instead of just saying erach af, Hashem has patience. You know, and lets the Rishayim take their time till they do tshuva. Ultimately, Hashem holds them accountable, but with patience. Why does it say Erech Apayim, which sounds like it's a double meaning, a double reference? Erech Apayim means L'tzadikim L'Rishayim. Hashem, you know, waits and is patient with respect to his treatment of the Rishayim. So he lets them, you know, have their time to do tshuva, and also L'tzadikim in terms of, you know, rewarding the tzaddikim doesn't happen instantly. Hashem takes time, and he waits and waits until they're actually deserving of the biggest reward, la'asid lov. Tanu rabbanan, lo yisakil odom mirushusi l'shus rab. A person should be careful not to remove stones out of his, you know, property and throw it into the street. Ma'asid odom echad was a story involving this person. Shayim asakil mirushusi l'shus rab. He was doing exactly that, throwing the stones out of his yard into the street. Amatzo yichased echad, this pious man met him. Amrali says, what are you doing? Reka, empty head. Why are you doing this? You're removing stones from property which isn't really yours. Who says it's going to be yours in the long term? Maybe one day you're going to sell it. And where are you throwing it? To the street, which is really yours. So he sort of admonished him using this sort of twist on words. Ligleg Olav says, Phyllis started laughing. What do you mean? This is my territory. That street? I don't care about the street. The Yavim, it turns out that a little while later, this fellow had to sell his property and was walking down the street. Nitzrach Limkur said, he sold his field. He's walking down that exact street. And he stumbled on those stones which he placed in the street. Amar, now he realized, that tzaddik was really on target. When he told me, why are you doing this? Removing the stones from someplace which is not yours and throwing it into the street which is going to be yours. Continues the Mishnah. A person digs a pit in the street, and in falls a bull or a donkey and gets hurt or dies, he is responsible. And it doesn't really matter what size and what shape that pit was, as long as it's deep enough to cause damage. Echad achayfer boir, whether he dug a round pit, siach, long and narrow pit, or ma'ara, a square pit which was roofed, which had a little opening, charitzin, a square pit without a roof, uneitzin, or a V-shaped pit, wide on top, narrow on bottom. In all these cases, it's chayiv. Im kein lo menamar bur. So why does the Torah specify bur, which is a specific, you know, contour? And the answer is, it doesn't have to be dafka bur. It's just a matter of comparing it to the depth of a bur. Ma bur, just like a bur, a classic bur, the Chacham at a Kabbalah means, sheyesh bo kedei lahomas asorot tfachim. It has 10 tefach depth, which has the ability to kill. That's the bur that Torah speaks about. Of course, likewise, any sort of pit or hole with that ability, sheyesh bo kedei lahomas, which can kill asorot tfachim, because it's 10 tefach deep, he's chayv. Hoyi pchusin asorot tfachim. Let's say it's less than 10 tefach deep. V'nafal of soichay shorach amur remeis. An animal falls in and dies, I'm potter. But if he's muzak, but if he's hurt, muzak boy, of course, he's chayev. Amar Rav, what type of damage is the bur inflicting? How does it do it? Amar Rav, bur shechival of Torah, and the Torah holds a person liable for digging a pit, it's because lahav loy b'lo l'chavotay. It's because the bur has hevel, mist, moisture, humidity, lacking oxygen, which makes the the person or the animal that fell into the burr, short of oxygen, and makes him vulnerable and susceptible to harm. We're not speaking about the actual impact of that fall, because Alma Kosova, because Rav holds Chavata, you can't hold him responsible for the bang. Karka Elamu, he banged into the floor, which doesn't belong to me. So Karka Elam, the maskele, it's the floor, the Karka Elam, which caused that type of damage. Rather, the reason for liability is the hevel. Interesting, right? Surprisingly enough, it's the hevel, according to Rav, which, triggered the whole, hezek, ultimately through the bang, but it was the hevel that actually made him vulnerable and susceptible, weakened his immune system or his ability to resist that impact. That's Rav's opinion. Ushmol Amar, Shmol disagrees. There are two elements, two possible vehicles of harm. Lahevloi, whether it's the hevel, the koshkan chavot, and of course, he's responsible for the actual bang, for the impact. Vim toimer lechavot omer toimer v'loi lahevloi. Well, says Shmuel, perhaps it's only the chavot and never the hevel. Well, that's untrue, because atora hiida al habor. The Torah speaks about being responsible for a bur, afilu moli svugin shel tzemer, even if it's cushioned with, bundles and pieces of wool, basically, even if it's fully cushioned, the Torah doesn't differentiate. There's no chavata, there's no bang, still is chayev. Apparently, even damage caused by hevel on itself is also a reason for chayev. So bottom line is, according to Rav, the chayev is only because of the hevel, and according to Shmuel, whether it's the hevel or the chavata, either way you're chayev. Might be now any case which would only be chayv according to one sheet and not the other, it could be a difference like this. Davad Goyo versus Rab. Let's say he made a little mound in the street, created like a high point. Animal climbs up and plops down onto the street. So there was no sort of, below terrain, there was no underground, enclosure which contains hevel. All we have is the chavata. So that's the nafkimina. L'Rav, according to Rav, you're not chayiv. A goyiv, aloy mechayiv. L'Shmuel, a goyiv, not mechayiv, because there's a chavata, there's a bang. My time of the Rav. How does Rav know that it's all about the hevel and not the chavata? D'amakor, the pasuk says v'nafal. The animal fell v'nafal. Ad d'shiyipol derech nafilo v'nafal indicates that he fell and head first, face to the ground, and that's the type of case that is chayiv for, because he sort of choked himself down on bottom through the hevel. Ulu Shmuel v'nafal kodu mashmo. Shmuel learns v'nafal means any type of fall, even off a mound onto the street below. Okay, tonight let's go back to the Mishnah. Im kein lo manem bur. If a person is liable for any type of pit, why does the Torah specify bur? My bur. The point is to learn the depth from the bur. Sheyesh bo kedei lahomas asorot tfachim. Of course, any type of pit or ditch. Sheyesh bo kedei lahomas asorot tfachim, which has 10 tefach depth, you're chayiv. So why does the Mishnah use the Lashon Af Koil? What is that coming to include? Af Koil, even, this, that as well. Mishnah with Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we can very well understand the extra expression, extra phrase. Af Koil is coming to include us. So you gaiva falling off a high point in the street because of the Chavata. Elo L'Rav, according to Rav, Af Koil, so you might. What's that coming to add? Well, it's coming to add all types of configuration. So you Charitzen and Itzen. So as we explained, Charitzen are the square-shaped, uncovered pits, and the itzen are the V-shaped pits. That's what it's coming to include. Well, charitzen and the itzen, what do you mean? Be'adik tani, the Mishnah already began by listing all types of configurations. Why the repetition? Tani, first we listed Vadur Mefarish, then we explain how we know it. We know it from the fact that Torah gave us the word bur, and bur is just an expression of all types of pits and obstacles. Says the Gemara, "V'hani kulu diktani lamli." Why does the Mishnah actually have to list all these things? Bur and siach amara, they're pretty much, you know, all the same idea. Tzricha, each one contains a chiddush. Diktana bur, if we only mention bur, I mean, I would say bur asar with this behavla. You know, a bur tentavachtip contains the hevel element. Mishum the katna kricha, because it's narrow and round. Aval siach, but a longer, you know, rectangular shaped ditch, the arich, which is long. Ema, perhaps there's more circulation, more ventilation. Vasura, less behevla, just because it's tentavachtip, it doesn't contain enough hevel to cause damage. Vitano siach. Now, the Mishnah mentioned siach as well. I would say, Avamina, siach asura, this behevla. Maybe there's hevel and siach. Mishum the katna, because actually it's narrow. Aval ma'ara, the mraba, but ma'ara, which is, you know, more of a square shaped, a broader, wider shaped pit. Ema ba asora less behavla, maybe just ten tevachtip. It's not enough to have the hevel element to create damage. V'itani ma'ara, had the Mishnah added ma'ara as well. I mean, I would say ma'ara ba asora this behavla, over there this hevel and ten tevachtip mishon the metal, because actually it's covered and contained, so it has the hevel point. Aval charitzin le metali, but a square shaped pit without a lid, which is not covered. Lo metali, ema, I would say perhaps a shallow charit, no, basora, less buhavla, doesn't have a serious element of hevel. Vitana charitzin, then if the Mishnah would add charitzin to the list, I mean, I would say, well, charitzin, asura, this behavla, over there, this hevel. Mishum the less buravicha male, because it isn't wider at the top, tfeimet atoy, more than the bottom. It's sort of equally contoured. Aval neitzim, but this V shaped pit, the ravicha male, which is wider on top than the bottom, ema, perhaps over there, I would say, ba'asara, but just ten tevachtiv, less buhavla, there's no real hevel, there's proper circulation, kamashma, that's why the Mishnah troubled itself to go through an entire list, whether it's this or that, it all has the hevel element in your chayiv. Tanana, we have the Mishnah which says, well, if it's less than ten tevach, hoyibchusn ma'asara tvachim, and what happens, v'nafala soicha yishayra yichamay rameis, so if an animal falls in and dies, pato, you don't have to pay, v'muzak v'chayiv. But if the animal was harmed due to its fall, you have to pay. Now, why? Nafal is soich yishorei chamer, umeis potter. The animal falls and dies, you don't have to pay. Why? My time. Huh? So Gemara is figuring at this point that, you know, if there is a difference between dying and being harmed, apparently we're not speaking about hevel, because either there is hevel or there's no hevel, right? So the Gemara figures, skip the hevel point. The reason why I'm potter for Misa, if it's less than 10, my time will love mishum less bechavata, because you know, there isn't enough of a drop. It's less than 10 tevach. It's very shallow. It's not really. It doesn't make sense that it would kill. You know, it's not your. It's not sufficient to kill. That drop isn't drastic enough to kill. That's why I'm potter from misa. So this is a raya that we don't reckon with hevel, right? So Rashi learns the kashas like this, that even though there is hevel, right, I'm still potter if it killed somebody, because it's not enough of a bang, it's not enough of an impact. So apparently we're not reckoning with hevel. That's a kasha both on Rav and Shmuel, who say that hevel on its own is sufficient reason for liability. Says them, no, lo mishum de lespe havlo. Hevel, yes, would be a reason for liability, but here there's no hevel. Says them, so why am I chayef for hurting the shor? So why if the shor got hurt, I have to pay? There's no hevel element to cause damage either. Amri, the answer is like this. There's a certain degree of hevel. Not serious enough to kill, but enough to damage. In, yes, havel lemis, Amri. So the answer given was like this. Ein havel lemis, there isn't enough hevel to kill, to choke him. V'yesh havel nezakim, but there is enough to make him vulnerable to nezak. So then I'm chayv, but misa I'm pot. Okay, continue best tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Just recap today's daf. Person digs a pit, is he chayv? Well, it depends where, depends when. So according to Rabba, if she says Rabba is chayv, according to all shittas, she says Yachar is machlekes. According to Rabbi Yisef, she says Yachar all agree you're chayv. Again, you're mafki rishos, and you made it accessible to the public, you're chayv. But if she says Rabba is a machlekes, all agree. If it's in the private property, which he didn't make hefker, he's potter. All agree by the Lushin, he's potter. If he dug a pit and he gave it over to the rabbin under their care, he's certainly potter as well. We have the story with Nechun Yechafer Sichin, which we had a story with his daughter, a story with his son, we had the story with the Chassid Echad, who gave some advice to this fellow who was throwing the stones into the street. The Chiv of the Boyer, according to Rav, is because of the Hevel, strictly because of Hevel. And according to Shmuel, whether it's Hevel or Chavote is Chayiv, Afkimina would be creating a mound, a high point in the street, which has the Chavote element and not the Hevel element, according to Shmuel Yuchayiv, according to Rav Yipater, but the Shem will continue tomorrow. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.